Well, my dad loves what is basically a very obscure comic strip known as Bob the Squirrel. Now, every week or every day, there's the little multi-panel strip of Frank the artist and his relationship with Bob this squirrel. And it runs regularly, and you can find it online. But there's also this extra little piece that shows up on the Facebook page. A couple times a week, there's this little picture. It's a single-pane illustration of the squirrel making some statement. And it's usually very provocative or very thought-invoking. He calls these things squirrelosophy, and they just sort of show up to get you thinking. For Halloween this year, there was a picture of Bob the Squirrel with no words, dressed in his Halloween costume, holding out his trick-or-treat bag, and the home at which he stands is throwing candy canes into his Halloween bag. Yep, that's about it. I mean, now that the Black Friday sales are, now that Thanksgiving is over, there's nothing left between us and Christmas, right? At least that's what the marketing department for every single retailer and toy company would have you believe. There's nothing left between us and Christmas, they say. I'm here to tell you there is a long journey between here and there. And though it'll go by so much more quickly than we can imagine, no matter how many times we've told ourselves, not this year. This year it's not going to go by that quickly. It's my sincere prayer, my deep hope, that we might slow things down and prepare ourselves. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not ready. I mean, my Christmas lights are up. My tree is trimmed and decorated. I've already made 4 batches of Christmas cookies. But that's not the ready that I'm talking about. When it comes to the idea of Christmas, my heart's not ready. And although I'm doing a lot, my being isn't prepared. Because something big is happening. Something new is arriving. This is the advent of something momentous. That's even where we draw the name of this season. Advent. The arrival and beginning of something anticipated. It's a season of preparing ourselves for the arrival of Christ into the world as a baby in Bethlehem. It's 4 Sundays that we turn our focus to a manger in a stable in a little town called Bethlehem on a night some 2,000 years ago. Each week we contemplate a different theme to help us consider the enormity of Christmas. But that way we're taking it one thing at a time. Hope, peace, love, joy. These will be our guides through this season of preparation, this time of Advent. And what wonderful and delightful words they are, aren't they? Hope and peace and love and joy. They are just these perfect little words that apply perfectly to our perfect little lives as we prepare for what will certainly be a perfect little Christmas. Isn't that what it's all about? I spent several hours yesterday doing some extra work on the Christmas tree in the parking lot. After our awesome team of volunteers hoisted that 20-foot tree vertical on Friday, we quickly noticed that several parts of the tree were just empty. We kept turning and adjusting it to try to hide the bare spots from view, but there were just so many of them, and the tree is just so exposed to the world. So, the place where we got the tree provided me with some resources to fix that problem. A friend and I yesterday sat outside drilling holes into the trunk of this tree so we could jam in branches from a second tree that had been thrown aside at the tree lot. Let's call it a donor tree. And that way the massive bare spots would not be visible. As we were working on it, we decided we could call it arbordontics, or branch augmentation, or natural relocation and reinforcement. Needless to say, our tree had some work done. There were a good 14-some branches that we put into the bottom 5 feet of that tree that weren't there 2 days ago. And as pleased as I am with the way that tree looks right now, there's something that just feels wrong. Only afterwards, only after all of this work, did I actually stop to consider. Had I unwittingly become a part of some sort of Christmas machine that won't allow anything that isn't 100% merry and jolly and perfect to exist in this world? I wonder if we don't have those moments ourselves. Not with our trees and decorations, not with our meals and our plans, but with our lives. Do we have these moments with our lives? Moments where we feel we have to do a lot of extra work to hide the imperfections that seem or at least feel more visible during the holidays. Or maybe sometimes we feel like the tree, as others poke holes in who we are and jam in their idea of what we're missing. I always like to have a theme for our different seasons together. Something that ties the weeks together, it really helps me take each week and use it to build to something bigger. The process of developing a theme and naming it is very important to me, and I go through many different versions and phrases over the course of weeks and sometimes even months to think about what will our Advent theme be. This year, as I narrowed down a few options, I floated them by a group of friends and colleagues and honestly, anybody who happened to walk into my office while I was working on it. One of the themes I was working with that we ended up choosing came from the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Once I started thinking about it, I couldn't get those words out of my head. The hopes and fears of all the years. So I floated this possible theme by my ad hoc group of test subjects, and I got a variety of feedback, but none of it stood out more than this one. You're going to talk about fear at Christmas? Now, I'm only assuming the tone because it was a text message, but I'm pretty sure that's how they meant to say it. You're going to talk about fear at Christmas? Yes. Yes, I am. But this is not some weird way of bringing Halloween into Christmas, since Christmas already seems to be making its way into Halloween. No, the fears I want to invite us to consider are deeper. They're bigger. They're authentic. Because they're not fears that are, by definition, scary. They are the kinds of anxieties and vulnerabilities that need the hope and peace and love and joy of Christmas. It's that parts of our lives. I want us to consider the prophetic promise of the coming of the Lord from Isaiah. Hear these words. The Lord God's Spirit is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and liberation for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, a day of vindication for our Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for Zion's mourners and give them a crown in place of ashes, the oil of joy in place of their mourning, a mantle of praise in place of discouragement. They will be called oaks of righteousness, planted by the Lord to glorify Himself. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore formerly deserted places, and renew the ruined cities. This is very traditional Advent scripture. Most Bibles even have it labeled the year of the Lord's favor. It's a nice little phrase, isn't it? That sounds great. We should put that on bumper stickers. 2015, the year of the Lord's favor. Sounds very exciting and promising. It's really happy stuff the Lord is bringing, isn't it? Did you hear it in there? Good news and freedom, comfort, joy, crowns, feasts. These are hopeful words. They're hopeful promises. They're the perfect kind of things to make a perfect kind of Christmas for all of us perfect kind of people, right? They're the kinds of things we think the baby in the manger should bring to us for Christmas. They seem full and lush and perfect for Christmas. But if we really listen, the bare spots in the tree start to show up. The Lord's God's Spirit is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release for the captives, liberation for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, a day of vindication, to comfort all who mourn, to give them a crown in place of ashes, the oil of joy in the place of their mourning, a mantle of praise in place of their discouragement. They will be called oaks of righteousness planted by the Lord to glorify Himself. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore these deserted places. They will renew the ruined cities, the places that have been deserted in generations past. Do you hear it in there? With all those hopeful, beautiful words are those realities that we might all know too well. They're the kinds of anxieties and vulnerabilities that really need hope and peace and love and joy. You know, God doesn't bring joy to the happy and peace to the comfortable. That would just be redundant. Instead, God reminds us that the parts of our lives that are the most difficult and painful are not forgotten, nor are they beyond hope and healing. God is acknowledging and validating our human experience. This is one of the ways our hopes and fears are met in Christmas, because God is with us in the arrival of Jesus. God is with us through the poor, brokenhearted, captive, unliberated, mourning, ashen, ruined, deserted places and parts of our lives. God is with us through the deep and dreamless sleep and down the dark streets of our lives. The very humanity of Jesus acknowledges and validates our human struggles, our human pain, our human fears, because that is all a part of the human experience that Jesus will know. I've been wrestling with the word hope for years now. It drives me crazy that the word hope is all but synonymous with these ideas of wishing and wanting. Hope is so much more than wishing and wanting. One of my favorite authors has helped me understand hope in a bigger way recently. Brené Brown is a professor, a researcher, and a writer who has done some of the most amazing and groundbreaking work on how people live in and live with shame. She's done amazing research and writing on how we fear being vulnerable, but it's the only thing that'll truly let us experience life. She also has done a lot of work on reminding us how much courage it takes to truly live our lives every day. If you haven't looked at her stuff, you should. It's amazing. I don't think the book club's done one of her books yet, but we totally should add it to the list. She has recently turned her work and her focus to the idea of hope. In her research, conversations with thousands of people, she's come to realize something that she puts into this simple little phrase. Hope is a function of struggle. Hope is a function of struggle. In other words, we have to acknowledge our pain, brokenness, needs, and wanting for there truly to be hope. We need to own that we're in need of hope. And not only that, but those difficult, those vulnerable places in our lives, she's found that those are the places that lead us to hope. In one of her presentations, she has this amazing observation from her research. I want to share it with you. The two prerequisites for high levels of hopefulness are perseverance and tenacity. I like those words. The people who have the highest levels of hope have the most experiences of failure in their lives. That line just hit me. The people who have the highest levels of hope have the most experience of failure. You see, our anxieties and vulnerabilities, our failures, they don't just need hope and peace and love and joy. They're the places that God brings it into our lives to be with us. You see, it's not only into our messy, imperfect lives that God's hope comes. It's from our messy, imperfect lives that God's hope comes. This is why we're being invited to be a little bit more authentic this Christmas season. This is why we're going to talk about our struggles, our pain, and yes, even the fears of our lives. This is why we're going to quit trying to fill the empty places with fake branches. Because if we can open up these honest places in our lives, not only will the dear Christ enter in, as the little town of Bethlehem puts it, not only will Christ enter in, but we will find that God's grace and presence shown to us in the hope, the peace, the love, and the joy, we will find that they were already there in those places we didn't even want to look at. But in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.